This is CNN Student News, 10 minutes of international current events for our international audience. I'm Carl Azus. We're glad you're watching. First up this Monday, the United Nations, the United States, and the United Kingdom are all calling for an immediate ceasefire in Yemen. The conflict started last year in the Middle Eastern country between Houthi rebels who drove out Yemen's president last year and the forces that support Yemen's president. Other countries are involved too. Iran supports the Houthi rebels. Saudi Arabia and some other nearby nations support the Yemeni government. Part of the reason why global tensions are heating up over Yemen. An American warship in the Red Sea has apparently been targeted several times from missiles that the U.S. says were launched from Houthi-controlled parts of Yemen. They've all missed the USS Mason, but the ship responded last week by launching missiles of its own aimed at three Houthi radar sites. America believes these sites were used to target the USS Mason. Next story. The Iraqi Air Force dropped thousands of leaflets over the Iraqi city of Mosul this weekend. Their message? Don't panic, but stay at home, seal up your windows and doors, and avoid the ISIS terrorists who control Mosul. The reason? Forces led by Iraq and supported by the U.S. were advancing toward the city. The background. ISIS took over Mosul in 2014. Today, it is ISIS's last stronghold in Iraq. For more than 15 months, Iraqi forces have been getting ready for the battle to take Mosul back. But a CNN correspondent in Iraq says it's likely to be a messy and prolonged fight. In advance of it, witnesses said on Sunday that airstrikes destroyed one of the main bridges leading to Mosul. We're headed to sea now, off the northeastern coast of Australia. There's a system of coral reefs there that's about half the size of the U.S. state of Texas. It's the Great Barrier Reef, and scientists say it's in trouble. One symptom of the reef's problems appears in coral bleaching. This happens when the coral are stressed out. When there are changes in light, nutrients, or temperature, the coral can get rid of their algae and turn white, and it can take years for it to recover. Australia has devoted $2 billion toward improving the reef's health, and there has been some progress, but officials say the reef's recovery will have to speed up to become successful.
I've been coming to Lizard Island and coral reefs for about 30 years now, and over that time we've looked at the colour of the coral and see it go from a healthy brown to an unhealthy white. The coral here on Lizard Island is as unhealthy and white and bleached as I've ever seen it before. What causes coral bleaching is when the ocean temperature stays warm for a very long period of time, and we have both global warming, which is an effect that's been lasting for years, and this year an El Nino on top of that. So there's almost a double whammy for the coral. They're getting hit from both sides, so they're bleaching very heavily. On Lizard Island right now, it looks like all of the reef is affected by coral bleaching. I've never seen it bleached this much or this heavily before. In fact, I haven't seen one healthy coral in our entire trip. One of the things we don't know is how well the reef is going to recover. I'd be surprised if 50% of the coral recovers.
The Poisoning of America. That's the title of CNN's exploration into the U.S. heroin epidemic, a dramatic increase in abuse of the illegal and highly addictive drug that's led to thousands of deaths. Throughout the week, we're looking at who's affected, what's being done to address the problem, and as you'll see now, how heroin can get into the country.
There's a battle along America's southwest border. Every day, drug traffickers try to smuggle mass quantities of heroin and other hard narcotics into the U.S. any way they can. From the air, on land and sea, and even underground, we look at law enforcement's ongoing struggle to stop drugs from crossing our borders. San Ysidro, California is the busiest land port of entry in the nation. More than 2,400 pounds, well over a ton of heroin, was seized in 2015, a 45% increase from the previous year.
This is the U.S.-Mexico border. I take a couple of steps over these dots, and I'm in Mexico. More than 60,000 cars pass through here every single day, and each one of them has to be inspected for contraband.
Of that, 12 to about 15 vehicles are identified as having narcotics within them. That's a very small percentage. However, in these vehicles, there's anywhere from 25 to 75 pounds of heroin. We become somewhat of a de facto mechanic. We are actually pulling the car apart, doors and seats and gas tanks on a daily basis, engine compartments as well. The presumptive test indicating that it is cocaine. 99% of all the travelers entering our ports of entry are legitimate families and good people. It's that 1% that we're looking for, the needle in the haystack.
Traveling along the thin sliver of land that separates the U.S. from Mexico, it's easy to understand why America is such a big market for drug cartels.
It's amazing how small the fence is when you think about it.
The location is ideal.
So you can see they build their properties right up to the fence line.
They're clearly watching what you are doing here on this side of the fence.
They do operate as a business. They're going to pay people to sit up in some of these houses and observe, get that counterintelligence on what we're doing. They might be able to use binoculars and pick up an agent's name off his name tag, identify how that agent typically works. Because there's so much money involved, whatever we do here on our side of the border, they're going to try and figure out a way to beat it. So if we put up a 100-foot fence, they're going to try and build a 101-foot ladder, or they're going to put a tunnel to go underneath it.
Border agents here have discovered 58 underground tunnels, 22 of them in the last 6 years. They're in an area of San Diego known as Tunnel Alley, which agents call a sweet spot for digging since the cool, wet sandstone is easy to dig and keeps its shape. We're in the Galvez Tunnel, now sealed at one end with concrete. Started in a warehouse in Mexico, it is 7 stories deep and more than 2 football fields long.
So you need a means of getting a lot of product through in a relative short amount of time. Tunnels can do that secretly. 34 tons, I think, is what we had about 4 years ago through one tunnel.
Right.
Could be $60+ million. It pales in comparison to the cost and effort it goes into building the thing. It's a perfect means to an end, and the profit margin is huge. As long as there's a demand for drugs on the north side and somebody willing to ship them on the south side, there's always probably going to be tunnels.
We're heading south toward the border.
Your guys here in the helicopter, they're working and communicating with those guys down in the boats usually?
Yep, so that's 2 Air Marine boats. We work jointly a lot with other agencies, Coast Guard, for instance. Their visibility with radar is pretty limited, so having an air asset increases the range and target detection significantly.
Are the criminal organizations being more aggressive in the way they try to get drugs in?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, as we increase the pressure, they're willing to take greater and greater risk. It's risky going 100 miles offshore in a small 20 to 30 foot boat and transiting from, say, Ensenada, Mexico to San Francisco.
Former White House drug czar and now head of U.S. Customs and Border Protection says the solution is to target users and stop demand.
If you could snap your fingers, what do you wish could happen?
So I think it's an understanding in this country that we'll never, one, arrest our way out of a drug problem. It goes back to a much more holistic way of looking at this issue. We really have not devoted anywhere near enough time, attention, or money on prevention, on education. If we had less demand in this country, Mexico would have less of a problem.
It's actually a massive assault. They're trying to get it in every possible way they can.
Yeah, it's a business. They're going to do everything they can to make money, and we're going to do everything we can to stop them. But I would not be the person to tell you that drugs aren't going to get into this country.
In the U.S. state of Michigan, there are 5 restaurant employees who have a lot in common. They all work at McDonald's, they're all 18 years old, they share the same car, they have the same birthday, and they share the same parents. The 3 guys and 2 girls are quintuplets. Their boss says they're great workers, and that if she needs a shift covered, she's got a really good shot at it by just calling one house. So if someone's thinking about hiring siblings, those are 5 great reasons why you should. There's no doubt they have a fraternal bond, and as long as there's no sibling rivalry, their 5-part harmony shows how all the jobs in the restaurant are related. You could say that having them on staff is quintessential. I'm Carlos Zeus. CNN Student News is serving more puns and news tomorrow.